Bugler Special. Taking a big ride tonight. Down in the mountains, North Georgia. Weather's gold. And relic. Got lots of them. And then we're going to play a three old plane out Dallas, Texas. And we're going to be with our friend Troy Galloway and Charles Custom Detector. Yeah, we're talking all about the new Shadow S5 and the S3. And ask some lots of questions. We're going to get the whole scoop. And nothing but the scoop. Didn't call all the names tonight. I can't do that. It's too much for me. But I wanted to play my song. Oh, yeah. Get us all in the mood. I'm in the mood. Got a lot of new things we're going to do tonight. Been working real hard to get the show going just right. Things that you're interested in. Things that we need to do. Things that I'm interested in. Promoting our hobby. Preserving our hobby. Talking to all the folks all around the country. Getting all the information firsthand. Don't forget your questions, folks. Get them put on the post. Please give me a call tonight. I bet this is going good. At least I think it is, and I hope it is. So we'd like to have some input from you folks. What y'all want to hear? What y'all want to do? Who you want on the show? Okay, that took care of that. Now I get my microphone squared away here with the music that was in the background. And this microphone is very, very hot. I tried real hard to keep this thing just right. Got a windscreen on it. Got an old gooseneck. That's what I was twisting around. And not a real gooseneck. One of these high-fluting radio goosenecks. Move that microphone up to you, away from you. I think it's just a little bit hot. But that's okay. Hey, I hope you all heard the intro tonight of All Aboard. That was Rosebud. That is my 10-year-old granddaughter, Jennifer. And I think I've got that age right. I hope I do. Boy, she was a whiz-bang. And I messed up. I was supposed to have it on CD, but then when I recorded, I couldn't get it on the CD, so when I produced it. So I'm learning, folks. I want to say good evening to everybody. Hope you all had a great day today. It's been a great day around here. I've been looking at across the internet, all the posts and everything else. I see wind, snow, sun, rain, just all kinds of stuff. We've had a nice day here. But I've been working most of the evening, most of the day. And, oh, I wanted to invite everybody in tonight after the show. Go to my chat room and I want you all to come here and we'll chat a little bit and talk about just whatever comes up. We might talk about gold prospecting. Where's the streams at? Who's going where? What are they doing? How are they doing it? Might talk about metal detectors. Yeah, we'll have all the answers to the Shadow X5 tonight. And we'll be in good shape. We'll be in good shape with that. Something tells me it ain't going to be long. And we'll have old Troy on here in just a little bit. Got several things I've got to go over tonight. But anyway, first thing I want to do is I want to thank you all for showing up. I want to thank you for the support of Bugler Shack. There's a lot of guys out there that have really devoted a lot of time and a lot of energy into this and have made it all possible. You know, we're in our second season now. Last week was our, last Sunday night was our first show. And we had Keith Wills, East Texas Metal Detectors down there in Texas. And Keith's webpage is on www.brokendetector.com. So you need to go there and just see everything that he does. He's a man that will fix your detector, supply parts for your old detector that are no longer serviced. I don't care if you need a battery pack, a container, a new coil, or another coil. A guy has got tons and tons of parts. I know he's never failed me. Never failed me, at least, when I've called him up and said, "Hey, Keith, I need one of these." And he'd say, "Well, Bugler, I got one of those. Or let me look. And it's on its way." So anyway, that was our last week's show. Got a lot of the guests that will be coming up. I don't have it posted on the show. I've got a couple lined up for next week, but I don't know just exactly who I'm gonna schedule. But I'll have that on the web page, and even if it ain't there, you can tune in and find out. Oh, I wanted you to write down. All right, get your pencil and papers out. Write these numbers down. The first number that I've got for you, this is a call into the show, 770-945-8642. That's 770-945-8642. And if you want to call to California, you can do 559-732-5005, and they'll patch you right into the show. That's 559-732-5005. I'll be announcing those numbers some more as we go on with the show here. Tonight we've got some prizes, and one of them we're giving away an all-new, brand-new Wizard Vibroprobe pinpointer. Now, let me tell you something about this thing. Wizard Billy out there, Mr. Billy, has been working very hard on this thing. And I guess, you know, the people that's been with me have known we started out, Sergeant Pultab did a field test and an article on it. And it came back, it was a primarily a stud finder. Well, it wasn't a pinpointer, but Wizard never put that name on it, the pinpointer. It was from other people that used it, and it was excellent when you dug your hole, had the dirt out there, and you was down there at it, you could find it real quick in the dirt that was on the top. but when you got it down in a hole, it didn't have any pinpointing abilities whatsoever. And then that was just a stud finder, what it was really designed for. And then they started to working on a pinpointer. And they come out with a pistol grip. They had a vibrator and audible tone. And it had a they had a 4-inch and 11-inch shaft. The first thing that we encountered with that, it wasn't waterproof, and that really made it difficult. But they were heading in the right direction, and now it has went into. They have just one. It's the 4-inch VibroProbe Wizard pinpointer. And folks, it's jam up. I have played with this thing. I have tested it. I've tried it all which ways that I possibly can, and it does a job. And what I like about it is a pinpointer. A lot of people say, I don't need a pinpointer. But I do. And what that does for me, it gives me a lot more time to hunt for targets. I've had so many times of not really getting the target, getting it out, and it's a kind of a mystery in that there. And I can go in there with that pinpointer, and I mean, I can just zap right in onto that thing and pull it right out of there. Just take my fingers and go down there and pull it out. In fact, a blind man could do it. I've got a friend of mine that is blind, and one of them's on way up to him. And I'm sure that it'll do everything he wants to do. So that's what that's one of our prizes tonight. And then we're going to give away 5 Treasure Hunter Gazette newspaper. That's for the that's made for the treasure hunter and collectors. And that's thanks to George Streeter at www.streeter.org. And that's a real nice paper. I was just looking at an issue here, and it covers all kinds of things: new products, dowsing, future of a hobby, very important, travel tips, bottle hunting. You know, it's beefing about with Tom Ivins, and it's articles by Jamie Thoms and The Funny Side, and just all kind of papers in here. And here's coin values, coin collecting tips, metal detecting tips, stamp collecting, gemstone, gems, care and handling, just all kind of articles in here. Even got one in here for your pet tip of the month. We all got pets we take out there, and we got to take care of them too. So anyway, those are what we've got tonight. And to qualify, all you've got to do is ask a question, either by post on my webpage or by calling in and asking a question. And then the winner of that will be determined. And it's not going to be who's got the best question or who's got the funniest question or who's got the most questions. What we do is put that down, and then we just we put them all down, list them down, and then pick a random number. And then that number, we just start out the top, start counting. So like we've got 20 questions, or let's just make it difficult. 27 questions, and we'll come up with a number of 115, and then we'll go with that. Usually what I do is just pick up the telephone directory and just open up a page, and whatever that page number is, that's how I count it out. Of course, up here in Pig Hill, we don't have too many pages in our phone directory, but I got that big old Atlanta one. I'll do that. Okay, enough of that there. I want to thank our sponsors for doing this. And do. And tonight I'm starting a metal detecting 101 class, or treasure seeking 101. We want to cover it in everybody, because this falls so much on everybody in this hobby, no matter what you do. And I wanted to get started out in the code of ethics. And the first thing that I pulled up was the FMDAC's webpage. By the way, it's just www.fmdac.com, and you will find all kind of information there, and also how to be a member. And I urge everybody to participate in the FMDAC in your local clubs that are associated with the FMDAC. If you need a club, you can go there and find out where the clubs are, who the director of that area is, emails, phone numbers, all that stuff, and you can get associated with the club near you. And if you don't have a club near you, you can also join the internet club. And all this information is right there. They've got a real good forum board. We've got our first call coming in here tonight. I'll have that taken care of in just a minute. Well, heck, let's do that right now. Hello.
Hey.
Hey,
Rich from Windy, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Rich in Windy, Pennsylvania. How you doing?
Not too bad. I want you to know that us people up here in the north are still listening to you, and we're really glad to hear you back on the show.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm hoping that everybody is hearing you. But I think the volume is way down, Rich.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, we'll try. I'll try to talk a little bit lower here and crank you up a tad. Sometimes it doesn't do just exactly what it's supposed to do. And that's because of the phone company and all the routing and the connections we're going through. And the phone company, they have what they call a pad on the line, which drops the signal down so that it don't mess up everything in the works. So how you been?
Real good. How about yourself?
I'm doing just absolutely fine.
Everybody's getting antsy up here. The weather's breaking. Everybody's talking about getting out, looking for some gold, and swinging the detectors. And had a group of people out yesterday, fossil hunting.
Well, I'm ready to go. Of course, I've got a lot of other things to do. I don't know if you heard or not, but I was just talking about we're starting on the show weekly as a treasure seeking 101, and tonight we're going with the FMDAC's code of ethics, and we're going to do one every night and explain it and talk about it. What do you think about that idea?
That sounds really great.
Okay.
Like something we were talking a little bit about on the net the other in the chat room last week after the show.
Absolutely. Oh, by the way, you're going to be the MC of the show tonight?
I'm going to do the MC of the show, am I?
Yeah, the chat room.
Okay.
So I hope you have a crowd in there. I'm going to try my very best to get there.
I will definitely be there. Hope everybody out there joins us at 9 o'clock.
Oh, we have a ball in there.
Definitely. It's a good way to ask those questions. You might have been afraid to call or didn't quite know how to get in on the website and answer them, so it makes it really easy to do it this way.
Right, and you have anonymity in there. Nobody knows who you are.
Sort of like aluminum.
Right. Are you listening to the show now?
I got on a little bit late. I had to take a couple of phone calls. We just got back out here tonight. But I had the show on. I turned it off when I called in because...
Was the audio okay?
The audio was great.
Okay.
I didn't want to get the feedback or wait to hear myself on the radio, so I shut it down when I called.
Okay, well, very good. Well, I'm certainly... Tell me, what's going on with your club? Y'all are time sending me. Y'all just started a new club up there, prospecting, and you take care of metal detecting, all that stuff. And you people up in Pennsylvania are really doing a great job.
We have five clubs up here in Pennsylvania. just out to the Allegheny chapter, out to the Pittsburgh area yesterday, talking with some of those guys. One of the things that I've done is I pulled the five clubs together and I'm putting together a core group in each club to work towards the state legislator to try to get dredging back, allowed back in Pennsylvania. So we put that together, and our club meeting is next weekend. And see the Spectroscope ad, the Gold Prospectors magazine, the long range detectors. We have the inventor of that coming to our meeting next week. So a lot of stuff going on.
A lot of stuff going on. You guys are really on it. And tell me something. I might get a good answer out of you. Is there really gold up in Pennsylvania?
Definitely. Most definitely. I have found gold not even a mile from my house. There's a small stream that runs down through here. And it's definitely glacial gold. And we have probably a half dozen streams that come right down to the glacial area. And it's not unusual to drive down the road and see somebody out in the stream panning. We're running a closed box, and those kind of things are legal. So we're working on the dredging size issues at this point. But there's a lot of people out here doing it. The clubs are very prosperous.
And y'all just started.
Our club's only just a year old.
Right.
We have about 60 members in our club, and the older club that's in this area has in the neighborhood of 300 members.
Right, and a lot of them are doing metal detecting, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're doing both.
All right, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to finish up with this here, and then we're going to get Troy on. I don't have Troy on yet.
Well, gee whiz, if I ask you what shoe size you wear, does that count for a question tonight?
I don't know.
Hey, people, have a great show tonight.
Okay, I'm going to, but I'm going to put you down as calling in, even though you didn't get a question. You got a question you want me to?
No, I really don't at this time. Just tell Troy I'll be looking forward to listening to him tonight.
And you'll be looking forward to an X5 because you have an X2.
Yes.
Yeah, you twisted my arm and took my last one.
I bought your last one.
I got to tell that story.
Having a ball with it.
I got to tell that story. It was my last brand new one, and I was up in Shreve's, Ohio, and someone said, I got to have that. So I sold it to him and saying, oh, well, I've got this brand new one here, and I'll use it. And then we got together down in Pennsylvania over at Monroeville with everybody, and Bill and George and Harry and Jabby and all them went metal detecting, but you didn't have a metal detector, so I said, well, here, use this X2, and you said, it's mine.
Yep.
I'll take it.
Compare that, I think I was the only one to find any cold hard cash that day.
No, wait.
Silver to that day.
Well, that was a silver. That was a silver.
Yeah, you found some coins that day over at the old church.
I found two real nice Indian head pennies, and you know those Indian head pennies are still in the olive oil? I haven't taken them out yet.
Oh, boy.
The jar is just about full. It's a quart mason jar. I need to start taking those out of there and wipe them up. They ought to be in fine shape by now.
I think so.
Okay, Rich, you take care. Don't forget you're the MC, and keep them all straight there in the Bugler Shack chat room tonight.
Okay, Bugler. Have a great evening.
Okay, buddy. You take care.
Bye.
Bye now. Okay, folks. There it was. Old Rich. Rich Best up there in Pennsylvania. STSC. You got to be the MC tonight. I don't know how that worked, but I'm trying real hard to get that squared away. Now, where was I? Tonight we're going to do the 101, and we're going to do the first Code of Ethics. And this is the FMDAC's Code of Ethics. There's all kind of them out there, and they're all important. And you should develop your own Code of Ethics. And you don't have to go by somebody else's, but read them all, and then add some of the things you'd want to do. But the FMDAC, their first one is, I will respect private property and do no treasure hunting without the owner's permission. Let's talk about that for a minute. I will respect private property. Respect, we all know what that means. respect, and we need to show respect for it. It's our hobby, and that's something that's very, very important. Do no trigger hunting without the owner's permission. We've got to have the owner's permission. That is important. Sometimes a verbal permission is fine. Some of the states, they have a law that if you're on property that is fenced, you are required to have written permission. Now, some places, there is no fence, then you can have verbal permission. So you want to check what your laws are, and I go from there. And just make sure that you're covered, but make sure that you talk to the owner of the property or the caretaker, the person that has the authority. And that's it. And let me tell you what happens when we don't. In fact, I've got an article here that I want to read to you. I researched this article and I got on the heraldmail.com. That's www.herald-mail.com. It's a newspaper up in Maryland. It's right at the South Mountain Battlefield. There's a park there that covers three states, Virginia, Maryland, and West Virginia. And for all of you who haven't heard, I want to read this article to you. It's very short. On Tuesday, March the 5th, 2002, artifacts stolen from battlefield. South Mountain Battlefield. The theft of artifacts is being investigated at a second national park in the local area, according to the National Park Services. 76 holes were discovered at Box Gap on the Washington County, Frederick County line on January the 17th, said Chief Ranger Robert Gray at the Harpers Ferry Center. The holes could have been a couple of months old, he said. A similar case was reported at Harpers Ferry National Historical Park in late January. Park officials are following leads from tips on this case, Gray said. The holes at Fox Gap were north of Reno Monument Road and near the Appalachian Trail, Gray said. They were on federally owned land. Looters, I love that word, looters typically work at night, parking away from the area and walking through the woods. They wear camouflage and use metal detectors with the handles wrapped in black tape so they don't reflect light. Park officials don't know what was taken. The metal detectors could have found bullets, buckles, or something more valuable, he said. Fox Gap is a Civil War battlefield where the Battle of South Mountain was fought. A $500 reward is being offered for information that will lead to an arrest and a conviction of the offenders, Gray said. Anyone who saw anything suspicious in the area at the time may call toll-free at 866-677-6677. And this was copyrighted by the HeraldMail.com. Remember when I told you that looters, I love that word? Well, I really hate that word because so many times it's been associated with us. Metal detectors, treasure seekers, we're looters. That's what they say. But there's a couple bad eggs out there that give all of us the name looters. Why do you think we're losing our rights to hunt some of these properties? Not only national parks, state land, and private lands is because of some of these bad apples. They go out there and they don't use the code of ethics. They're not in this for a hobby. They're in it profiteering. They're no more, some of them are no more than thieves in the night. And they just use a tool called a metal detector to find these objects. And you and I get to share the tag of looters. I never forget one time I called the state of Georgia up, called the Historical Preservation Department of that department to inquire about metal detecting in a certain place that the state owned. And a girl secretary, the receptionist was answering the phone, immediately says, "Oh, you mean looting. Were looters." Oh man, I just absolutely come unglued. I found out that she had been working there only for a week, knew nothing of metal detectors, but she had already picked up the word from the state employees, looters, metal detectors tagging with the name looters. Now, how ridiculous that is. How ridiculous that is. A lot of changes, folks, and we have to do it. You and I, we have to do it through education and practicing what we preach and go out there. So the next time you want to go out and detect a new area, make sure you get the permission. Make sure you present yourself well and that you have the proper authority to be on that property and looking and do what's right. Okay, that's it for tonight. I'm glad I did that. FMDAC also heard of this throwing in $500 towards this, and I suggest if anybody has any information about it, that they would call the number. If you missed the number, send me an email and I'll get it to you and everything else, and I'll keep you up to date on it, because Ranger Gray is communicating with me. I expect to hear from him Monday. I talk with the people up there, and they're going to call, and I'll have more information on that as we go along and can give that to you. I'd even like to have him on the show. That's one of the things we're waiting for right now. Okay, let's go on, and I've got something. Let's see. No, I'm not going to do that. It's time for me to get Troy on the line, and we'll go with that. Oh, I didn't tell about the coin shoots and the Alex. Let me get that real quick. I'm going to go through that. We got Bones 9. That's the best of the Northeast, April 26th, 27th, 28th. That's the Treasure Hunters and Collectors Weekend. That's going to be in Keene, New Hampshire. You can find all about that at www.streers.org. Also, April 27th, 2002, the GGPA, my good buddy Nugget Hunter over there, is having their a spring barbecue. That'll be at Beard's Branch in Ball Ground, Georgia. And it will be an all-day affair, plenty to eat, plenty to do. A lot to learn from the old-timers who are very successful in finding gold, using their metal detectors and all that stuff. Gems, you want some information, there's going to be a day to do it. This one day is going to be worth a year in the field of learning how to do all the hard things the easy way. And Nugget Hunter is offering you the entertainment and the education and a real good time. And I believe it's going to, all the members are able to bring guests. So get on his page. That's www.nuggethunters.com or .org. You can go to Bugler Shack, go down to the links, and go under prospecting outfits, and you'll see the GGPA on there and Nugget Hunters, and it'll link you right to the webpage. That's going to be a big time. And also, FMDAC, Treasure Weekend Convention, October the 18th, 19th, and 20th at the Radisson Harbor Inn at Cedar Points in Sandusky, Ohio. This is going to be a big, this is going to be a biggie, folks. Make your plans for that. You can get all the information at FMDAC. 5th Annual Treasure Hunt of the Carolinas, March 23rd, 24th. Largest open hunt in the Carolinas. It's going to be held rain or shine. It's going to be at Ed Brown's Rodeo Grounds in Blacksburg, South Carolina. I'm going to be there. Bugler's going to be there. I think we're going to do a show up there and everything else. And you can find all about that at Randy and Joyce at 864-839-3598. 864-839-3598. And if you run into trouble with that there, just give me a, send me an email, and we'll tell you all about it. Okay, here's a biggie one. This is the one that I love. A Treasure Week 2002, June 29th through July 6th. That's going to be in Shreve, Ohio. I'll be there for that. To get all the information about that, you can get in touch with Carl and Jill McPheeters. And I just don't happen to have that number tonight. Maybe they'll call in tonight and tell us about it and post their number or something like that there. And I got to keep going here so I can get Troy on here. It's 2 hour shows. I'm going to have to make it 3 hours before too long. Three Forks Treasure Hunters Club, 16th National Open Treasure Hunt. That's going to be in Oklahoma, Highway 66, the Creek County Fairgrounds. Check on me about that one there. And let's see. Oh, here's an address for Jill and Carl. That's jcseekers@rex.com. And East Texas Relic and Artifact Show. That's going to be at the Waco Civic Center. It's going to be March 23rd and 24th. The largest treasure show in America. It's a biggie. But I'm going to be over here and doing that there. A lot of people are going to be there. And they're going to have two very special guests. I just got an email from Keith. And it's going to be Mr. Rob Jones from Texas. He's has a major position in the Sons of Confederate Veterans. And a veteran published author on articles in both the Texas Bar Journal and the New Handbook of Texas. He's in private practice now, but he was formerly a judge for two terms. Also, Mr. Charles Garrett, the owner of Garrett Electronics, is going to be there. Now, that's worth it right there. And he's going to give a seminar, a little talk there. So that's going to be it. I think I've got all of those. No, wait a minute. I got a couple here. The GPAA of North Georgia is going to have Saturday Patrick's Day coin shoot. This will be the second annual one. It will be March the 16th, and that will be in Murrayville, Georgia. And non-GPA members are welcome. Registration will be at 10 a.m., you can contact me for that, or you, well, you're going to have to contact me for that. And also, the West Georgia chapter of the Gold Prospectors Association is going to have one coin shoot and treasure hunt April the 6th. Contact me about that one there. That's going to be... where is it going to be at? I think that's going to be, yeah, it's going to be at the Buchanan property. So let me know. And for information on that, you can call Morris, 404-688-8506, 404-688-8506. And that's going to be a real good hunt. That's it that I've got right now. If anybody's send me what you've got, and I will try to keep everybody up and help promote it for you. So that's it. I'm going to get Troy on the line now, and I've run about 12 minutes longer than what I thought to. But y'all hold on, and I'm sure we're going to have some real nice music on here, and I'll be right back.
Well, I don't love nobody, nobody loves me. Except my money, don't care for me. Always have been single, always have been free. I don't love nobody, nobody loves me. Went down to Alabama, settled down for life. Met a gal named Donna, had a shoulder for my wife. Told
Troy. Bob, you ready to go? All right, can you hear me now? You couldn't hear me now. Now you can. Okay. Okay. All right. Let's do this thing. We're going on. All right. And we're just doing all of our things. I'm about 10 minutes behind. Okay. Here we go. Okay, folks. Here we go. We got Mr. Troy on there. Can you hear me? Okay, Mr. Troy.
I can hear you pretty well here. You're breaking up just a little bit. I just want to say hello to everybody out there. Thank you for inviting me to be on your show again.
Well, I'm glad to do that. My problem is here is I'm trying to adjust the microphone levels.
I can hear you fine now.
And it's kind of hot. You know what I'm saying? I know you've been in this electronic business before, and I hope everybody is hearing you okay. Maybe our first caller will I call in.
Now.
What's that?
You're breaking up now.
I'm breaking up. It might be because of the internet. Is that? Let me see. Well, no, it couldn't be that there. How is it now?
You're breaking up pretty bad. It was better just a few minutes ago, two sentences ago.
Well, I don't know what that is. I guess we'll just have to go along with this thing. But I've got something. Special here that I think that you'll enjoy, and I hope it's not really bad quality, but I tried to work on it real hard, and I couldn't get it onto CD, but I did manage to get it onto a cassette, and I want to play it for you, okay?
Okay.
This is for right now. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go.
The tears are still here. The shadow knows.
Hi everyone, this is Redfin. The greatest line of new detector will soon be available for you. Don't wait. Contact your shadow dealer now if you're one of the first to have the X3 or X5. To find a dealer near you, check out www.TroyCustomDetectors.com. That's www.TROYCUSTOMDETECTORS.com. And remember, the shadow always knows.
All right, there you go. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I sure did. That's kind of neat there. I'm kind of a surprise. Where'd you put that together?
I put it together late last night. My granddaughter was over here, Jennifer, and her handle or nickname is Rosebud.
Huh.
And she's 10 years old, and she did that spot for us.
Huh.
So we're working on that, but the quality is all going to get a better choice.
Well, let me tell you, you're breaking up really bad here. I hope people can hear me and you both, but right now I'm having great difficulty hearing you.
Well, do you want me to try to call you back again?
That might be better.
Why don't you just hang up there, and I will call you back again, and maybe California can check their lines out there and make sure that we've got that taken care of, and I'll call you right back.
All right, I appreciate it.
All right, I'll call you right back.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, I don't love nobody, nobody loves me. Except my money, don't care for me. Always have been single, always have been free. nobody but me. Went down to Alabama, settled down for life. Met a girl named Donna, had a shoulder for my wife. Told her that I loved her, asked her to be wed. She didn't hesitate a bit, and this is what she said. Oh, I don't love nobody, nobody loves me. You accept my money, don't care for me. Always been single, always been free. I don't love nobody, nobody loves me. Well, I don't love nobody, nobody loves me. You snapped my money, don't care for me. Always been single, always been free. I don't love nobody, nobody loves me.
And we're going to work some more on it and make it, you know, Bugler Shacks Only, you know, this is our second year.
Uh-huh.
And I'm by far a radio person or electronics genius.
Yeah.
But I can plug things in. You know what I mean? And I can work a metal detector. So, I mean, you know, what's more important than that, you know?
Well, I'll be glad when you get back on your feet, man. Really rough operation you got to go through.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've had a rough time with it, but I'm getting there, slow but sure. But it seemed like when it takes 2 years to make an improvement, and but then I find myself I'm 2 years older.
You know, I feel like I go through that almost every day.
Yeah, you know, you're breaking up here a little bit too, so I don't know what it is. There's storms going all over the place and everything else. When Rich called in a little bit ago, he it was just great. He had no comment about it, about breaking up or anything like that. So,
well, you're coming in pretty clear now. I'm sorry that I'm breaking up.
Well, that's the way it goes. But I deal with this twisted pair that we have strung around the mountains up here, you know, all the time.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, the other day I got there and cranked the phone. I couldn't even get Sarah Lou on there. Well, I just stuck my head out the window and hollered at her and told her to pick up the line. So anyway, she got that taken care of. Well, you know, I didn't really do a good job of introducing you, you know. You're Troy Galloway, and you are the owner of Troy's Custom Detectors.
That's correct.
And how many years ago did you develop the Shadow X2?
Let's see here. That was about 4 years ago. That's almost exactly 4 years ago.
Okay. And now you're no longer producing or building the X2.
I put the Shadow X2 off the market. It's about a year ago, something like that now.
And then you started working on something new.
Yeah, I found out that if I really wanted to stay in business, I really needed to go out and develop, you know, all my technology myself and own that technology. And that's what I've done. I have gone out and found out that, well, at the same time I found out that I couldn't work with the pro anymore, I decided that I had to go out because I wanted to stay in this business, which I sincerely love. I needed to go out and get my own team of engineers, if you will. I've got an engineering background myself. But I came up with a good team of engineers, and we've been doing some pretty extensive research and development over the last, I think it's 21 months now. It's been a very good experience for me. Well, in a lot of ways, plus the management. It's been extensive time for me, but man, I'm happy to say I can see that light at the end of the tunnel. I don't think it's the train.
You don't think it's the train, huh? you think it's the X5?
Well, X5 and X3. I wanted to have more than one detector when I was doing this, so that never did materialize. We're going to be doing that this time. I may even have three before the end of the year. And a really good set of headphones. more metal detectors.
Okay. Well, you mentioned a couple things there. I want to back up just a little bit. You talk about your technology. Give us a little background of this. Explain that a little bit to us.
Well, I'm not about to sit here and say that I've got something super secret that no one else has on the market. No, that's not the goal that I'm going after. The design criteria that we're looking for and the market niche that we're looking for are the people that would like to have a really, truly good, good quality, rugged, lightweight, weatherproof package that,
okay,
that does the job.
All right, let me hold you up right there.
Okay.
What I wanted to talk about was your background in the electronic business.
Oh, okay.
Before we get into the X5. Now, what give you the stepping stones to go towards this?
Well, I've got 32. I'm retired from Rockwell International. That's a large corporation.
Rockwell Collins.
Yes. Initially went to work for Collins Radio Company.
Mr. R. Collins.
That's it. And he was one of the premier companies back in the early and mid '60s. And then in the electronics and defense industry, I guess I should say. And shortly after I went to work for them, they were acquired by Rockwell International.
Right.
And I've spent 32 years in the defense communications business, defense electronics, I guess I should say, primarily in the tactical area. When I say tactical, I'm talking about the things that are out in the field, such as all the big communication shelters you'll see in these big green boxes that go in the back.
Right.
Two-and-a-half-ton truck or a three-quarter-ton truck.
Uh-huh.
And now they're Humvees, I guess we should say. Yeah, all the way down to manpack radios, satellite systems, HF systems, almost any type of communication system or monitoring systems, including cryptology, crypto devices.
Uh-huh. You ever heard tell of an HF 380?
Oh, yeah. HF 380, well, you know, this is totally unrehearsed. I didn't even know you knew that number.
Oh, I know a lot of numbers of Mr. Collins. Art Collins and the beginning of him and how he got started and all of his electronic background, his manufacturing and amateur electronics,
yeah.
Military equipment. And the HF 380 was... we had a version in the amateur radio field. I'm sure you're familiar with that.
Yes.
Which I am an amateur radio operator and have been an amateur radio operator since I was just a wee child. And when I graduated from Dixie Cups and Strings, I went to 30 tubes and cat whisker radios and stuff like that. And started to put them together in a single tube transmitter.
Yeah.
But old Art, he was quite a fan.
Oh, yeah.
Of mine. I know a lot of people that worked for him and designed for him and all that stuff, and you're just
he really taught me one thing, and he was probably one of the very best I've ever seen anywhere in customer service, and he taught me the gospel on that. If you're going to have a product out there, you've got to have good service, and you need to treat people well.
Oh, yes.
You know, you're talking about the HF 380. When we... I started out in field engineering and did that for about 9 years, traveling around all over the world with that. The other thing, I went into from there to product line management and program management and retired in the marketing area, marketing director. But the one of the things that was kind of a feather in my cap was I was put in charge of a project one time to take mil spec radios. We got a system called anyway, it was an Air Force system. It was a big system that goes in the back of three-quarter-ton trucks. And it was an HF system for the Air Force. What they were using, the black boxes were all mil spec, everything, just like you'd find in an aircraft or something like that.
Right.
And it was very, very expensive to build. And I was given the truck... a full hand at just going out and trying to reduce cost on that system. Well, I myself and a group of engineers we came up with the idea of putting HF-80, you know, this amateur, well, it's more of a commercial grade, but it's not no spec at all, but those kind of radios inside the shelter, and then protect the, if you will, protect the equipment at the system level as opposed to the black box level. In other words, we shock mounted the commercial equipment inside the shelter, and we protected the environmental with the radio coming with an air conditioner and heater, and we had to put the thing through the months of protest. The company funded this project $380,000, and that was a lot of money back then. We go out and actually build a prototype of this, buy the truck, buy a generator, carry behind it and all that. We went through what's called a Munson Road test, the drop test. That's where you pick the whole shelter up, drop it over concrete, kind of flat drop in all four corners, and then take it to a chamber and put it to just actually freeze the thing all the way around, and then also do the heat test, the humidity test, the salt pot test, all those tests. So I'm familiar with all that kind of stuff. And that's one of the things that I'm trying to bring to the metal detector community, is the way to build something that's going to be rugged and durable. Because I've been through all those kind of tests before.
It's going to take the normal abuse well. And metal detectors, they do abuse their equipment to a point. They don't do it on purpose. It's when they get that great target and they pop that thing out. I've seen them throw them down on the ground. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've seen them try to dig with them, you know?
Well, I'm laughing right now because I was hunting here about a year and a half ago with a group of people. And one of them would have a husband and wife. And she would pinpoint a target. She was using an X-ray. As soon as she finished pinpointing the target, standing up, she would just immediately drop the detector. And I watched her do this a couple of times, and I asked her why she was doing that. She said, well, that's the way my husband was. We offer lifetime warranty on this thing, but you've got to treat it a little better than that, or, you know, you're going to have trouble down the line.
Right.
But you run into all kinds of situations, but you do need to build something like a metal detector that's going to quickly take a lot of use. You need to put a lot of thought process in it, how to put together what's going to make it reliable through the years.
Right. Well, anyway, that's great that you've got that background, and when when you told me that, I can understand that this detector, if you put a lot of this knowledge into there, it's not just going to be your everyday, but we're not going to tag it mil spec, right?
No, it's not going to be near mil spec, but there's a lot of little tricks and nuances there that you need to pay attention to. You know, I now have got together some pictures, and they're going to do the effective test of this detector. First of all, if you look around, I think we people will agree the pictures are extremely well laid detectors to start with.
Right.
And they're going to be doing this going to test a lot of the quality of my detectors going to come out with their traditional quality also.
Right.
Now, we have gone in and done all the design work before I got the detectors control housing, all the walls and housing, the arm cups, gas handle lock stuff, all that's going to be built outside of Fisher, and the circuit board's going to be built outside of Fisher, but Fisher is providing the things that Fisher's going to be providing on the X3 and the X5, and the lower rod, the middle rod, control knobs, all the audio jack, the weatherproof audio jack like they have on the CZ detectors, and let's see, the pinpoint switch. I'm going to be using their pinpoint switch they have on the CZ, and of course they're going to be providing a lifetime warranty.
Now we're talking about the relationship with Fisher.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's going to be a good relationship. They're primarily going to be doing the assembly test and the warranty for the unit. And if where parts or sub-assemblies or something like that makes sense for me to buy it and get a better price from them, you know, that's exactly what I'm going to do, because it just helps the customer in terms of the price down as much as possible. Then they have quality stuff to start with. So I'm very pleased to have this relationship. relationship.
Well, I'm pleased that you have that relationship.
It's a total different relationship than the one I had with the Soro. The Soro was what we would call a private label agreement.
Okay.
One of the things I did in my previous career, I put together quite a few companies, large corporations and smaller corporations, on joint ventures, co-production types of activities, and private label agreements and things like that. So none of that was new to me. And new to some people, I suppose, but that's the way industry works an awful lot nowadays.
Okay.
The specialists do their thing.
Okay, for a recap then, the X2, that was Tesoro. There's no relationship there in the manufacturing now. It's your relationship now with the X3, X5 is all with Fisher.
Well, it's all our all toy customer sector design. I've got an agreement with them to do the pre-test warranty for going. That's basically what it is. I can go most anywhere to get that done, but they bring other things to the table for me.
Uh-huh.
And that is that they've got a good name. I like the quality of work that they've done. They've got a good warranty program familiar with sectors, much more so than the oldest company around.
Right. Are you on a portable phone?
No.
Okay. I was just wondering, it must be the satellite link that's doing this, because you're busting up this time, but I'm getting it. I'm hoping that the audience is getting it too. You mentioned there that you and your engineers designed the X3 and the X5 completely. Fisher had no role in the design?
No, not at all.
None at all.
In fact, they haven't even... We don't even know what it's going to be.
They don't know what it is, huh?
We've negotiated the terms and conditions on every aspect of providing your quality product and good service to the customer.
Okay, very good. Well, I think we've got all that covered up real well right now. We've got a question here that I'd like to bring up. Remember, folks, you can call in and talk with Troy and I at 770-945-8642. That's 770-945-8642. And or 559-732-5005. And get a hold of us, too, that way. Jeff Kinsley has asked the question, is Bugler and Troy, can you talk some about how the X3, well, it should be the X5 discriminator circuit, compares with some of the older TR detectors, i.e. the Compass 77B, in terms of iron discrimination and higher conductivity targets?
Well, I can talk somewhat around that. The old 77, I believe, ran it either 77 or 100 kilohertz, something like that. It was a really high frequency detector.
Right.
And it did have a reputation of being able to see through iron quite well. It wasn't necessarily because of the discriminator, it was because of the frequency it was running.
Right.
But, and I owned one, actually I bought two of them, and they worked quite well, and they were very effective in very, very trashy areas, with the exception that they had very little depth. I couldn't get much more than about 4 inches out of an 8-inch coil.
Right.
Because at that frequency, it's tough to penetrate the soil, especially when you start to get into any kind of mineralized soil or you got into heavy trash.
Uh-huh.
The discriminator circuit, there's several things that you want to try to consider, and that's one of the things I did. We've actually designed, built, and tested somewhere close to 11 or 12 different discriminators for the X5 and the X3. But the design criteria that I thought was important was, number one, have the ability to work well in Paris to find Paris trashy type sites.
Right.
And you need to be able to hear the difference between the smaller iron optics, what is a good target, such as lead or brass or something like that.
Right.
The other thing is we wanted to be able to have, if the Shadow X2 has any weakness at all, I think it's a little bit switch speed sensitive. In other words, if you start swinging the call too fast, it is possible to overswing a target.
Right.
And I'm the kind of guy that likes to hunt a little faster than most people. people who have covered a little better ground, because you've only got X number of minutes to hunt out there.
Right.
Every time you go out. So I'm trying to design a discriminator that wouldn't be, that you wouldn't have to work real slow with.
Right.
And at the same time, the last criteria that I wanted to try to find is try to find a way where a discriminator would work in highly mineralized soil better than what we had on the market. And so we like I say, it was trial and error. We did lots of different things, but right now I'm happy with what we have. We've got a good trade-off on every area. And you'll find that what I found out, it, like that Shadow X2 is pretty quiet in trashy areas to some degree, quieter than most other detectors.
Right.
But that's the problem. If you make it that quiet, then you don't, then you have the possibility of missing targets pretty easily.
All right. Hey, Troy.
Yes.
Can I try calling you back again?
Yes.
All right. You hang up there, and I'll give you a call back again, okay?
All right. Modifications done, and they would do it, and then I would put my label, name, whatever you want to call it on it, and then develop my own dealers and distributors, and that's what I did. That's what you call a private label agreement product.
Right.
The relationship between Fish and Air is totally different because I'm using Troy Custom Detector technology, and what their role in this is, well, several things. They're doing basically the assembly, test, and warranty work there. Now, they also serving the purpose of, in a lot of ways, of going out and purchasing and inventorying the items to be built there. I'm extremely pleased to be there because I'm really pleased with professionalism that they bring to the table here. I just thought I was a stickler on details, but man, they are really...
They're really sticklers, huh?
Yes, sir, and I'm happy to see that.
Well, that's a beautiful thing that they're like that. I've got several Fisher machines.
Yes.
And, yeah, and I love them, you know.
Well, I have too. I've been using them for many years.
That's my choice of underwater is the CZ-20.
Yeah, very good machine.
And, I've got the 5 and the 7 and the... You know, and they're all good machines. I put people onto them. Always have extra machines with me for backup. And you never know when the mayor of city is going to come along and say, "What you doing?" And I'll say, "Here, grab hold of this thing. Find out what it is."
Well, the new president of Fisher is an extremely professional guy too. He's a very straightforward, honest fella, and I can't say enough good things about him. It's a great relationship we have right now, and I believe it's going to continue for many years to come.
Well, that's good. We're all looking forward to it. We got two machines coming.
Yes.
The X5.
The X5 and the X3.
Uh-huh. I have a problem with that there. What do I say first, the X3, then the X5? Or do I say the X5 and the X3?
Well, it doesn't really make any difference to me. The thing about it is, and I learned this in my previous career, that if you're going to have a family of products, you're much better off trying to build the most complicated one first.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can always take things off, but if you build the lower-end model first and then try to add to it, you run into all kinds of problems that you didn't think about when you design the lower-end first.
Right.
And so that's one of the reasons it's taken me more longer than what I anticipated to get this thing done.
Well,
let me say this. The a lot of people are saying this is taking an awful long time, but in reality, it's being done almost in record time in comparison to other detectors that are put out on the market in terms of the same time frame. You know, there's quite a few detectors that have been out there, been in development for much longer than what the new Shadow family is going to be.
Right. Well, you know, we have been talking about the X5 for a year now.
Uh-huh. Well, actually, a year and a half. I started this project 21 months ago.
Uh-huh.
And I guess we've been talking about it for a year, that's true.
And, you know, all around the internet and out the shows and out there, you know, I've been hearing for a year now, the X5, when's it coming and everything else, you know.
Yeah.
And last year at Shreve, I finally got to see a prototype.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you did make changes since that time.
Oh, yes. Yes,
in the engineering and design of it.
Well, this detector probably has more testing on it than anything out there. I've carried it to at least, I think, either 12 or 14 different states and tried them under every kind of condition I can think of. And each time I run into a situation where, hey, I can improve that. Hey, I can improve this or
right. Vice
versa. And that's the development process. Now, I'm not trying to build just a normal run-of-the-mill detector. First of all, it's got a lot of diversity to it. It's actually 5 detectors built into one.
Right.
It's designed for the coin shooter, the relic hunter, the prospector, the competition hunter, the beach hunter, and it also is going to be a very good cache detector also, which is the 6th item.
Right. Yeah, you've done, I don't know how you've done it. But you've got there.
Well, the main thing is there's not any super secrets about technology here. It's just that we're building an extremely well-made detector design-wise and putting in extremely good components to make it perform the way it is performing.
Right.
And the big issue here is we're doing this all in a 2.5-pound package, including the the battery.
Right.
And people are just going to be amazed at the kind of performance, or you're going to say performance depth, you're going to get, they're going to see out of a single 1.9-volt battery.
That's what I was going to ask you. How many batteries do we run?
Just 1.9-volt battery.
Okay. Have you done, I'm sure you have, testing on it? What kind of life expectancy are you getting out of this?
Out of the battery?
I know there's a lot of factors that's involved with that. But just normal, every run of the day, you know, not getting it wet and all that stuff, summertime conditions.
The question was
how long is the battery going to last with this?
Oh.
How long can I run it?
Well, our calculations say somewhere in the neighborhood around 25 hours.
About 25 hours.
Now, I've got three of them. That's the calculations. The calculations in real world are two different things. Right now, as we speak, I've got three of them in here. You know, I'm burning up batteries to see how long they really last.
Right. Got the volumes wide open, stuff like that.
Well, I've got the sensitivity set where it's chirping all the time. That's a more severe test than you would be testing with the headphones, because you're using more power driving the speaker like that.
Now, you're coming out with a headphone, right? You know, that is so important, you know, on battery life, is the people that don't use headphones, they use a poor quality. You know, they just take they go down Radio Shack, buy the cheapest thing they can have, you know, put them in there, find out if they work, and then they just run on with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to crank that volume up on it. Crank that volume up on it, you're sucking that battery down.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of things about can be said about, you know, the lower end headphones. Usually they don't have quite the quality, audio quality. But the biggest problem I see with those is, number one, they weren't very comfortable. They were usually big and bulky, and they had little wires or something sticking up above your ears, and every time you tried to go under a limb, it would hook under the limb and pull your headphones off.
And you felt like you had a vice on your head after about a half hour.
Yeah, that and I think the first year I started Melotecting, I ended up with a cardboard box full of headphones because the wires kept breaking. That's the weakest thing on a Melotecter is the wire.
And the phone line.
Yeah, and the phone line, yeah. But anyway, these new headphones I'm coming out with are designed specifically for Melotecters. I've had a pair of headphones on the market for some time now called the Shadow headphones. And
they're
just a set of headphones to go along with my Shadow detectors. And that's what I thought at first. But then I failed to realize, or until I started using them myself, that people like to use, many people have multiple detectors.
Right.
And just because they have multiple detectors doesn't mean that they want to have multiple headphones. In fact, what people really like to have is one headphone that will work with every detector that they have.
Right.
So we sat down and decided on these new headphones we would, first of all, make them compatible with all modern-day detectors. And we wanted to do that with without any switches or you know, most detectors are compatible with everything, have a stereo mono switch or various things like that. But I'll tell you a little story. I was up in Pennsylvania here about 3 years ago at a black diamond hunt in Pennsylvania, and we were all standing around waiting for the gun to go off. It must have been 150 people there. The gun went off, we all started searching, and within 3 minutes of the hunt, I hear this great big booming voice, "Hey, Troy, this dead gun thing doesn't work!" And everybody had stopped in the tracks, and all looking around at this guy, had a shadow sticking up in his hand. Well, that was great. Great advertisement for me, so I ran over there to him. And the deal was, he had a set of headphones with the stereo mono switch, and he had it in the mono position, so I flipped it down, and he was back in business. Of course, afterwards, I asked him, "Hey, would you do me a..." He was a friend of mine. I don't know why he did that, but I said, "Hey, do me a favor." He said, "What's that?" I said, "Would you haul out in that same voice, 'Hey, Troy, I'm a big dummy. This thing works just..." But that told me right there that you can run into problems with switches. So we've designed a set of headphones here that's compatible with any modern-day detector that we know of. I've sent them off to a couple of my distributors that carry everything.
Right.
And he's tested them. He's extremely pleased with it. And it has compatibility with everything. You just plug it in and it works, no matter whether it's stereo, mono, or whatever. Then the speaker that I had in all the headphones was only had a frequency response of 200 hertz to 3200 hertz. That's the same speaker that's in the couple other popular brands there.
Right.
And but that's a pretty narrow frequency range, so I decided to put in a good, high-quality Mylar speaker that runs from 20 hertz to 20,000 hertz.
Uh-oh.
And each speaker has 100 ohms impedance on each speaker.
That's about out of my hearing range.
And then it's got extremely high audio volume to it. And it's got dual volume controls, one on both ears with detents. You got the little switches there, 11 clicks there, so you can go to each click, you know, whatever you're used to, the volume level that you're looking for. On the audio cable, now, I'm kind of going, I've got almost a mil-spec kind of cable on here. It's not full mil-spec, but it's the highest quality cable I could find anywhere.
Right.
And it's almost twice the length of my current cable. My current cable is 8 feet long, and this one's 14 feet long. But it retracts. It's got a really good memory in the coils, or the wire there, so that it retracts very well, doesn't stay stretched out when you really stretch out for a long ways.
Right.
And it's going to come with a lifetime warranty, and again, there's no switches or anything to worry about. You just put them on and go. And I'm using the same ear cups and strap as my old headphones, the Shadow headphones, because that was very popular because of how comfortable it was and lightweight and so forth. So hopefully this is going to be an advantage to a lot of people that would enjoy good quality headphones.
I'd like to see a trainer where it had two headphones you could plug in.
Oh, in what regard?
In a detector.
A trainer?
Yeah. I could have a youngster or somebody that's never done it before say, walk here alongside of me.
Oh, yeah. Know? Yeah, well, you can get audio jacks that have a Y.
Yeah.
A stereo quarter-inch Y you can buy and do that exact same thing that you're talking about there.
Well, aren't you going to have a little bit of an impedance mismatch there?
Well, I was about to mention you should use the same type of headphones. So if one impedance is real low and the other's real high, then the headphones with the low impedance, of course, is going to be much louder.
Right. So anyway, that's
the other one.
That's what I was wondering. Let's basically go over Jeff's question here again about the discriminator, because we may not have got that in, and I think that's very important, a great question.
Yes, well, again, when you run a detector that's at, I think that's a, if I remember correctly, that's a 100 kilohertz machine, that is extremely high frequency for a VLF detector, and it's not so much the discriminator that allows it to hunt well in the males, it's at a real high frequency.
Right.
And it did have a good discriminator. The discriminator they had in the compass discriminator, I think late George Payne was the designer for that discriminator, and it was very good. The problem is when you're running that high frequency, it's very difficult to penetrate any the ground itself.
Yes.
The higher the frequency, the harder it is to penetrate.
Right.
And so, but it is very sensitive to small gold items or small targets completely. But the reason I think I have one or two of them that I used for a while, but they just didn't have the type of depth that I was looking for. I think the maximum I could get on a coin size target was around 4 inches, and that just wasn't enough to keep my interest very long.
Okay. Now here we go with a Kansas Randy.
Okay.
And he says, hello, Bugler and Troy. I was just wondering if the X5 will be able to be set for hunting next to two or three other X5s at the same time without interference. Steve, Rhonda, Dylan, and I can hunt next to each other with the X2 with no problem. But when the PA boys came, we got a little interference.
Okay.
Have a good one. See you at Waco. Randy.
Thank you, Randy. That's a very good question. And we'll backtrack just a little bit. First of all, there's two types of what determines your operating frequency is an oscillator. And some oscillators are crystal controlled and some are not crystal controlled. The advantage of a crystal-controlled oscillator is you can do certain things and so forth, but when it says you're on 10 kilohertz, you're exactly on 10 kilohertz on every machine.
Right.
If you have non-crystal control oscillator. The end result is when you say it's on 10 kilohertz, it may be around 10 kilohertz, plus or minus a couple of hertz or a couple of hundred hertz, something like that. And the advantage to that is when you build a detector, and the Shadow was built this way, the Shadow XT was built this way, where it was probably, on an average, one out of every seven detectors would actually interfere with each other, which means there's only one out of every seven detectors was exactly on the same frequency or close enough to give you interference. The Shadow X3 and the Shadow X5 are built the same way. We're not using crystal control oscillators. But then also, for the competition hunter, or when you get a large group of hunters together, I do have a three-position frequency shifter on there. And if one of those machines starts interfering with you, you just have to flip the switch, and usually that takes care of the interference immediately. And that's what that's on there for competition hunters. And if they happen to run into anybody on that frequency, they can flip the switch and off they go. I used that the X5 in competition hunts all last year, and I think there was only one time that I ran into any kind of interference at all. It's a shifter. But of course, the more people would start using the X3s and X5 in competition hunts, that's where the frequency shifter will help.
Okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I hear you just fine.
Okay, I've done moved away from the microphone quite a bit. Am I getting a big echo?
No, you're fine.
Okay, over beside the computer, we've got quite a few more in here. A streak, he's asked, with the X2 being based on the Tesoro machine, you had to use a slow sweep speed for maximum performance. Will the X5 share this slow sweep speed, or will it be a bit faster? Also, will any small specialty coils be offered for the X5, like a 4-incher?
Okay, let's go to the sweep speed first. That was one of the criteria in building the discriminator. There were three main things I was looking for. Number one, they would handle ferrous, non-ferrous trash very well. Number two, the sweep speed was very important to me. And the third criteria was the ability to penetrate mineralized soil the best that I could come up with. And trying to run discrimination in highly mineralized soil is just very, very tough nut to crack, but we've done a pretty decent job there. But to me, I'm the type of person that likes to hunt a little faster than normal, plus the fact that most people like to hunt faster than what some of the detectors are made to hunt, the sweep speed are made to hunt. So what we've done is we kind of made a situation where we have those three things all handled very well. It's not sweep speed sensitive, it handles the trash very well, and it does a very decent job in mineralized soil compared to other discriminators. The trade-off that you make on something like that is, for example, the Shadow X2 hunts very well in the trash, and it's fairly quiet, and if you run over a nail or something like that, you may get a beep, and you go back and it's gone. Or you may not get a beep on a nail. Well, the X3 and the X5 are designed to where you will get some kind of indication. Most of the time, you're going to know that's a nail down there just by the first pass. But the end result is you're going to hear a little more of what's in the ground with the X3 and the X5 than you are with the X2. But the X3 and the X5 don't miss anything either. And that's important.
Oh, they're very important. Don't want to miss anything. Okay, I got one post here from Big Al, and he's just saying, welcome back to the shack, Troy.
Yeah, well, thank you, Big Al.
And he's glad you're here, and he hopes to... that we missed Bugler for a while, but we were ready to swing those magic wands. I guess
I think everybody missed Bugler. I think it's a real pleasure to be back and hear you up and going again, and we look forward to attending. You're out there swinging a metal detector with us.
All right, I'm ready. Here's one here from Wild Her here, something like that. It says, Troy, have you considered making an add-on probe for your unit like this? Sunray X1 and S1 for the Mind Lab Explorer,
didn't hear that.
Add-on probe.
Probe. Yeah, I've considered that, but the thing about it is that's not really the direction that I'm going with the X2, and that means the X3 and the X5. What I'm really going after is extreme lightweight and good performance. And when you start tagging things onto it like that, you start increasing the weight of the detector. And you won't believe the extremes I'm having to go to get rid of every little half ounce on this thing, so that it will be an extremely lightweight but rugged detector. It's not a situation that I am totally disregarding, but right now it's not on the top of the priority list.
Okay, very good. STFC just sent me a message, says that I sound like I'm in a tunnel. Well,
move closer to the microphone.
Well, I got to get over here to the computer and read it. My laptop is not hooked up over here as of yet. I've got my router, and we're going to do that sometime this week, and I'll have that right beside the desk.
Okay.
I need a longer microphone, don't I?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me try something. This might work.
Hello, hello, hello.
Yeah.
Oh, that's much better, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot better.
Okay. This one is Snowman. Says, good evening, guys. I have had an X2 for the last few years, and I would like to try out a 9-inch spider coil. I can't find any information about the S9 on a net. How does it perform compared to the 7-inch? What's the weight, and how does it affect the balance? What's a good price to pay? Thanks. Snowman, on a cold and blizzard-filled night in the depths of the great white Canadian North.
Hello, Snowman. How you doing? Anyway, you've asked your question. I don't guess there is a lot of information out there. The difference between the S7-inch coil and the S9 coil is both of them have Zimmer-type windings, and this was different type windings than a standard Tesoro coil. The 7-inch coil weighs, if I remember correctly, about, with the coil, with the wire and the coil and everything, the connector, weighs about 10.5 ounces, plus or minus something. And the S9 coil weighs about 2 to 3 ounces more than the S7 coil. Now, what you're going to get in difference in performance is, number one, a bigger footprint. But the S7 coil is designed to have for a concentric coil, is designed to have a large footprint also. You are going to see probably about an inch to 2 inches better depth, depending on the type of soil. You may even get a little more than 2 inches than the S7, but the S7 is really a crackerjack coil. A lot of people have never really caught on to how well this little coil does perform. But once you get used to the S7 coil, the S9 coil, you're still going to like the S7 coil. The S7 coil will work a little better in the trashier areas, but then you're going to get a little bigger footprint and a little better depth with the S9.
They got support?
Yes.
Just to me.
As far as the price goes, I think the retail price for the S9 is somewhere in the neighborhood of I think $159, and then he's got a coil cover that retails around $12. I don't know if there's anyone out there who still has any new ones or not. I don't have any more.
Me.
Pardon?
Me.
You got one?
Me.
Okay.
Brand new.
Well?
Brand new in the box, ready to go.
Well, I won't you're one of the only ones I know about.
Well,
there was a guy looking for one last week. Actually, two of them desperately wanted to take them to England with him.
Oh, my. Well, you know where one's at right now.
Yeah, okay.
I got a brand new one.
Well, I won't talk about price. You can talk to Snowman then.
You can't talk about price on here like that there, you know.
Yeah.
But I will give Snowman the first opportunity to get a hold of this thing. And,
okay.
You know, I'm sure that we can come up with a deal, you know, maybe like a airplane ticket up to Canada, you know, and back again, and, you know, a week's vacation up there.
Well, by the way, as communicators say, I'm now hearing you 5 by 5.
Oh, right. 5 to 5. I love that there. You're 5 to 9. And on some bands, they say you're wall to wall and treetop tall.
I see.
Okay, here's one from Cliffo, my old buddy up there in Pennsylvania. Says, Troy, what features will the X3 have, and how will it differ from the X5? Good luck with the new detector release, and wishing you all the success that comes with hard work. He didn't even say a word to me.
Thank you so much, Clifton. I sure appreciate it. And tell you what, it has been a lot of work, but I'm not beginning. I now see the light at the end of the tunnel. This thing's reality now. And at risk of sounding like a commercial, I'm very excited about it because it's coming out better than what I expected, to be honest with you. And so I don't want to sound like a commercial, but I am pleased, and I can't wait to get it out and let people see it and start using it, because I don't know where I've missed the boat. I may have, but I can't find it where it is yet.
Well,
but, the X3 is going to be a little brother to the X5, if you will. It's coming in the same rod, same control housing. Everything is the same except the coil. The X5 is going to come with a 9-inch spider coil. It's going to look almost identical to my 9-inch coil that was on the X2. Now, the 7-inch coil, we've got a nice little thin donut coil made. We've got a couple of them made and been testing those for almost more than a year now. But Fisher's manufacturing procedure of putting that together is a little different than some of the others, and I'm in the process right now of thinking of scrapping that whole housing that I paid dearly for and moving to a 7-inch spider coil, and that's primarily for weight reasons.
Right.
But it's an extremely good performing little coil. It gets phenomenal depth for a 7-inch coil. You're not gonna believe what this little thing will do. It's got a huge footprint also.
Where are you lining at? What part of the market? I mean, are you pushing more of a coin machine, you know, or a relic machine, or just a downsize on all of it and a smaller, a different coil on it and less of a price?
Well, there's two different market niches there. There's the people that like to have the versatility that the X5 has. I mean, the X5 does basically everything except swim underwater.
Right.
And I may advertise it that way. The X3 is more of a less complicated to the eye. The X5 is a turn-on-go machine in the fact that every switch and knob and so forth has a position on there. You're color-coded, you put it in that position, it's turn-on and go.
Mm-hmm.
The X3 is really more of a simple machine to use, extremely low learning curve. You don't have to worry about all the different things. The primary difference as far as operation goes between the X3 or the function between the X3 and the X5 is that the X3 will not have manual ground balance, where the X5 has your choice, either manual ground balance or preset. It's not going to have the all-metal modes. We're going to have an auto-tune all-metal in the X5 for gold hunting and for all-metal use in relic hunting. Well, those features are not there. And it also does not have the beach mode. And while I'm talking about the beach mode, I don't want to get people confused out there. The beach mode is put on the X5 for versatility reasons, and so that you've got one detector that will hunt basically everywhere. I'm not trying to make the impression to people that just because it's got a beach mode, it's something super. It's not. It's just put on there so that you can hunt reasonably well in the wet salt sand.
Okay.
There's other
the
detectors.
The X2 did.
Pardon?
The X2 did a good job.
Yeah, well, that's what it's for. The X2 hunted fairly well in most places.
Uh-huh.
The same thing this machine's going to do.
Right.
But you have to understand, 19 kilohertz and wet salt sand are not supposed to be compatible.
They're not compatible.
But we've done some things there that I'm pleased with in the beach mode. I have taken it out twice on beaches, and I promised everyone a report after I came back, but I, I did didn't put that report out because I want to do more testing, and simply because it did better than what, much better than what I expected it to do.
Right.
And I need to do more testing before I come forward and say that.
Let me ask you a question about the discriminator you just talked about there. The control on that, is that going to be a switch, or is that going to be a variable control?
It's a variable control, and this discriminator will go all the way down to all metal. When I say all metal, it'll all metal discrimination, if you will.
Right.
It'll go down to pick up bobby pins if you want, or you can raise up to
a single tone.
With a single tone.
Okay.
Now that's the big difference between two big differences between a beach machine and say this machine.
Right.
Most beach machines, when I say beach machines, I'm talking about multiple frequency machines.
Right.
Usually have multiple audio tones also.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you see, when you go out on the beach, well, if you take the Shadow X5 and you're relic hunting and you get a little beep, you go back and it's gone. Well, that just told you that was a nail or small
right.
Iron object down there, and it did what it's supposed to do.
Right.
When you go out on the beach, and believe me, the beaches are full of nails and a lot of rusty stuff. Well, when you go out on the beach and you get a beep, you go back and it's gone, many people think that's a false hit. And it's not a false hit. The detector's doing exactly what it's supposed to do. But with a single frequency detector, it sounds like a false hit. Whereas if you're using multi-tone detector, you're going to get a low tone or something like that on a rusty, small rusty item.
Right.
Whereas in a good higher pitch on a good target.
Right.
But a single frequency and a single tone detector will always get kind of a black eye because they think they're getting false hits when their detector's actually doing what it's supposed to do. And they think they're getting false hits.
Go off of it and come back? Is it back there?
Pardon?
You go off of it with a coil and come back?
Typically, the way we got this discriminator working is good. It's telling you that there's iron down there, but, hey, you don't want to dig it. Because
right.
That's how you found the older house sites and the
right.
Civil War campsites and stuff like that. You look for a concentration of
right.
Nails and stuff like that in places that doesn't look like anything's ever been there before.
Okay, now here's another one from Cliffo, the new headphones.
Yes.
Who will be manufacturing the new Shadow headphones, and how will they differ from the current ones made by Detector Pro?
Okay.
Oh, and how much will they cost?
All right. The Shadow X2, the Troy Pro headphones are going to be manufactured by my company.
Okay.
And,
very good.
In-house. The way they'll be different is, number one, you're going to have two volume controls, one on each ear. You're going to have a high fidelity speaker in there, a much, much higher fidelity. You're going to have an audio card that's built like a tank compared to my other headphones, and the cord.
Almost mil specs.
It's almost twice the length also. My current headphones are 8 feet long, and these, the new ones are 14 feet long when they're extended.
Uh-huh.
But when they retract, they're the same size, because I've got a lot better memory put in this coil.
Right.
Memories in the coil. That means the ability for it to come back to where it was stretched out from. It'll also have the capability of working with any detector, whether stereo, mono, or whatever, and it has no stereo mono switches or anything to get confused or cause problems.
Uh-huh.
And the price, we haven't gone through a good production cycle on that right now, but there's going to be about the same price range, maybe $10 more than what my original headphones were, and they retail for $89.99, I think.
Uh-huh.
So it's going to be around $90, maybe $100 at the most, I'm sure.
Okay. Alright, here's one from Jeff, Denver, Colorado. Says the X3 and the X5 have the same sensitivity. Has the X3 been detuned some so that it doesn't compete with the X5 in depth? This situation with the X3 and the X5 sound like it did with the Explorer XS and the S, and S has less options than the XS. I am waiting for my X5, and I will be one of the first in my area to get one. can't wait.
Jeff,
thanks. Jeff, you're in the boat, buddy, with everybody else. Can't wait. And everybody's getting the first one. Everybody.
I'm going to have to make a lot of serial number 001s, aren't I? That was a good question, Jeff, and you do bring up a good point, and I want to bring this up in public right now. I've got options on the X5, such as the Black Sand mode and the Beach mode, that help you when you get into two different kind of situations. When you get into noisy or highly mineralized soil, it's noisy. One's the all-metal mode, which is black sand. The other one is the beach mode, and that's in discrimination mode. But what I'm saying is, when you get into an area where the detector will have noise problems, then the X5 can handle it because you've got the options there to go into that kind of mode, if you follow what I'm saying.
Right.
If you try to, for example, if you build a race car that has the capability of going 200 miles an hour, it does well going 200 miles an hour on a straightaway.
Right.
But when you start going up and down mountains or get into traffic or this, that, and the other, you have to learn how to take your foot off the accelerator. Well, the same thing is true with a metal detector, and the same thing is true with the X5. You're not going to be able to run it wide open in all cases.
Right.
And so I've got options on there that helps you hunt in these different situations.
Right.
But it's running it very hot and pushing the envelope on some of this. The X3, without those options, would not be able to handle the versatility and the hunting conditions that the X5 can. Therefore, I am reducing the power to some extent on the X3 in respect to the X5.
Right.
Now, when I say I'm reducing the power, it's still going to be hotter than most top-of-the-line detectors out there. When I'm talking about the X3, it's still going to be an extremely hot detector.
Right.
It's just not going to be as hot as the X5.
Well, I'm glad that we answered that question. That was a good one. Okay, here's Jeff. Will there be a team shadow for the GNRS? Hope so. I think it will kick butt there. Oh, ho.
Oh, that's a funny one. I'm not in a position to answer that because I have no control over what happens at the GNRS.
Right. So anyway, let's just say that I think that when the X5 gets out here, I definitely believe there'll be a group of shadows at the GNRS.
Yeah, well...
There can't be any other...
Well, it doesn't fall in like the X2. They try to say the X2 was a Tesoro, and that's fine. You know, they can... I've advertised that in my brochures, on my website, and even on the side of the detector that it's built by Tesoro.
Right.
They can call it Tesoro if you want to, but, you know, the end result is there's a difference between, you know, Chevrolets and the Oldsmobiles, or Chevrolets and Cadillacs. Just because they have the same engine doesn't mean they're the same,
right.
Same car.
That's absolutely right. We'll all get you there sometime.
Yeah.
Okay, another question from George in Pennsylvania. Price comparison. Troy, folks have been asking me how the X5 will compare in price to the X2 and what the bottom line is on the price. Bottom line.
Well, first of all, if you're trying to compare the price between the X2 and the X5, there is no comparison.
Right.
Because there is no comparison between the two machines.
Right. Completely different.
Once you pick up an X5 and you pick up an X2 and look at the difference, feel the difference, and
see
what the difference is, you'll quickly realize that there's no difference.
Right. Now we're comparing the Chevrolets and the Cadillacs.
Well, even more than that.
The Jaguar?
Jaguar, yeah.
Okay.
That'll work. The price on the X2, I think, with the 9-inch coil was $530.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
I've been selling mine. I sold all mine too cheap.
And on the X5, it's going to be a retail price, just a retail price, $999.
$99.
Yeah, I might even put 99 cents on there.
Yeah. Yeah, you can do that for advertising.
Well, the end result is I was trying my very best to keep it under $1,000.
Well, that's first, under $1,000.
When we first started this thing, we sat down with Fisher. I sat down with Fisher and so forth. We negotiated the price, and we came up with a $1,200, almost a $1,300 detector, and that just wouldn't work. So I had to get innovative and try to get it to where people could. Well, I think there's a magic number there, $1,000, and I just had to do that some way or another. So without reducing and sacrificing performance, I had to come up with a way to do this,
uh-huh.
And we did. But since that time, and that was a year ago, I came up with that statement. Since that time, I've added quite a few things back onto it that has driven the cost up. And, of course, who eats that? And that's me.
Uh-huh. And, okay, yeah, that's a big thing. You know, you've got to make a profit. There's no doubt about that for it to stay in there. We want to have room for product design, research, all that stuff, advertising, getting the product out there. We want the best possible price we can have. So, you know, when you look at a $750 detector and a $999 detector, I'm interested in what those two machines are going to do, you know,
yeah. And
who's standing behind it. You know, there's some people who take that $700 machine and they'll have it retailed, going out into markets that just absolutely delivered at rock bottom prices and stuff like that, you know, these superstores.
Yes.
And I just don't, you know, stay with some of your.
Well, I've got to. I mean, there's no way I can produce this detector
right.
And sell it.
You have to stay in business.
It's going
to
take me at least 5 years to start breaking even if I sell these things at the rate I was selling next to. I'm not going to ever come out ahead on this. I'm convinced of that right now.
Well,
but
are you telling us the X5 is going to have to be around here for 5 years
before I start making a profit?
Okay. Big Al had a question on here. Do you have any preliminary specs on the X5 yet? That's going to be on. I guess he's talking about on your page,
yeah.
Your website.
Yeah, that's a question that's been asked quite frequently, and I wanted to be sure. Al, it is a good question, and it's something I promised some time ago, and then I found out that I don't like to eat crow, so to speak.
Right.
So I like to be able to know exactly what I'm talking about when I put information out.
Right.
And I've been holding off of that. I'm just finishing up a dealer newsletter that's going to be mailed out probably tomorrow or the next day, letting the dealers know what's going on, because that's only fair to them to give them a little advance notice of
they got to be first.
Yes. It's very, very difficult for dealers really get upset when they have a customer walk in their shop and they know a lot more about them or show them specifications on something when they don't have it from the factory yet.
Yeah, what's even worse is when they go in there and say, "You're a shadow dealer, aren't you?" And he says, "I want an X5. And he says, "What's an X5? You know, I don't even know anything about that. You've got to inform your dealer.
Yeah.
They've got to know.
Yeah, so the answer to your question is I'm going to hopefully get this newsletter out within the next couple of days, and I'm about 4 or 5 days after that, after it's had time to get to most everybody here in the nation, then I'll go ahead and print the and publish the specifications on the forum.
And then we're going to have them there, and everybody will be able to play with them. Looky here. Look what we've got. Okay, Mr. Troy, we've had a ball, buddy. I've enjoyed it.
Real pleasure, real
and
pleasure.
I think everybody else has. And, everybody come on to the chat room. I'm sorry I had the phone problem tonight, but I got that squared away, just a bare wire, and I'll get that there taken care of.
Well, I would like to say that I want to thank everybody that came in and asked questions tonight. I'm excited. I hope you are, and I hope we get to do this again soon.
Well, I'm really looking forward to it. Just any time, Troy, you want to come on there and we get some special stuff on there, I'll meet you at the shows. We'll be doing stuff there from the shows and all that, and we'll be telling everybody about the X5. And you're going to have up on your page before too long the dealers, the specifications.
Yes, I got a new website coming up here very shortly. By the way, all those that are going to the Texas Expo, I'll certainly see you there this month. I plan to be there, and I'll have an X3 and an X5 for you to look at and play with.
Okay, very good. I'm sorry I can't be there, but I got a big hunt up there in the Carolinas to go to. But y'all think about me out there now, Troy. You
all
take
right.
care.
Thanks, man, Beeler. I sure enjoyed it.
Okay, I enjoyed it, too. Okay, folks, that's it for tonight. We really have enjoyed it. Remember one thing. Keep the coral to the soil, and if you're too busy to go metal detecting, treasure seeking, privy hunting, bottle digging, you're just too busy. Good night, everybody. I enjoyed it, and I love you all. Bye-bye.